You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Live Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Sports Live. Listen each day on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, or at FantasySportsLive.com. Now, here are your hosts.
Howdy, folks. Crazy Gaby here, joined by my partner in crime, Justin. You may know him as Big Italy 42. And Justin, forgive me, buddy. I have sinned.
Yeah, what's that? What'd you do? What's this time?
I didn't play last night.
I saw that. Did you see the score in your dummy lineup? Because it was incredible. You couldn't do that if you tried.
No. Sometimes you just got to take a night off. I wasn't too enamored with the slate. And it looks like I made the right choice because I was going to go Felix Hernandez over Clayton Kershaw everywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because I actually, the only thing that I played was the Five Guys League, and okay. I played Kershaw and Hernandez. However, I didn't bother to look at the weather at 6 o'clock like I told everyone to do yesterday, and so I had three Angels players in my lineup, none of whom played, and I still got in the money because Kershaw got me 97 points.
Yeah, pretty much last night, it looks like if you had Kershaw, you know, even though I didn't play, I logged on this morning, I checked out some of the scores around draft day, and it looks like it was pretty much the Kershaw lineups and then everybody else. I would not have had Kershaw. I would have went with Felix Hernandez in a value pitcher, so things wouldn't have worked out for me. It's actually a blessing in disguise that I did not play, and like you said, looking here at my the dummy lineup I entered earlier in the day, I had 1 point, Justin.
And that's remarkable, especially because what were your pitchers, minus 19 and minus 21?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't predict that kind of implosion even if you want to. I mean, Volquez, you kind of could see coming sometimes, but De La Rosa's usually not that bad.
George of the Roses, minus 19.
Jeez. And he wasn't even the worst. That's incredible.
That's, you know what, I like that, the one fantasy point. I've never done that on any team in any sport, one fantasy point. I'm going to take a picture of that lineup, and I'm definitely going to keep that one, hold on to it for a little while. Anytime I'm feeling down on myself, I'll just have to look at this and remember I did not get one fantasy point.
Yeah, and the best part is the stats that it keeps from that league. It's going to live in infamy forever because it's going to say lowest score ever.
Yeah, crazy game. I love it. I love it. Absolutely love it. It's basically like the Rotten Tomatoes of the Five Guys League. And yeah, fills my heart with joy. Well, we've got something cool coming up here on the podcast today. We're going to talk to one of our big winners from earlier in the week. Murphy Wolford, actually going to be on with us for a few minutes. Got a pretty unique story, actually, about how he first got into daily fantasy sports. Can't wait to share it with you guys, so you know, stick around for that. Hold on, hop in the saddle, whatever it is you do to make it through this podcast, definitely continue doing that. Looking over at draft day last night, it was pretty much as I mentioned earlier, the Clayton Kershaw lineups and everybody else, except in the Field of Dreams, the 109, the Big Daddy, the Granddaddy Tournament. Second place, you know, I'm going to shout out first place to Olive at 29, very nicely done, 241 points, but the second place lineup did not have Clayton Kershaw, and that's fairly impressive considering everybody else around him had 97 points from one player.
Yeah, it's even more remarkable because there really weren't any hitters that had ridiculously good nights outside of Brian McCann, so normally when that happens, you figure, you know, he's got a guy with 60, 70 points, something like that, but he didn't even have McCann either. He just kind of had all the guys that were pretty good.
Yeah, and Chase Whitley, for the price tag, wasn't terrible. 18 fantasy points isn't usually going to get the job done, but for 12,600, that doesn't exactly kill you. So yeah, Olive at 29, our champion, and then let me know who else got in the money there last night.
We had Mirage 88, Mr. Wonderful, and Exorizzi. I'm going to go with Exorizzi. I think that's
only paid out the four spots last night, though. So kind of, oh, you're right. Going to make Exorizzi bitter because you shouted him out and he didn't actually win any money. So congratulations. You now have a feud going with Exorizzi. Hopefully we can get him on the podcast and you guys can duke it out a little bit.
Oh, I can't wait for that. I'm used to the top five, the short slate. It's weird with the top four.
The 109 Field of Dreams, of course, a tournament that you can get into via qualifier. It's my favorite thing to do. They range from $5.50 up to $27. And if you want to try to win your way without paying full price, It's an excellent way to sort of build up to that. I'm in a $5.50 qualifier every night, so chances are when I play. So last night would have been a lie if I said I was in a $5.50 qualifier. But if you want to get in one, chances are you'll see me there. We'll have to compete. You can have second place and feel good about it. I'm going to take first place. My apologies there.
Yeah, and I'll shout out to them even though they didn't win anything.
Over to the $15 knuckleball. A little more affordable, a little more economical, but still packing a punch with the top prize of $200 last night. Jordan H415 taking it down. Kershaw, Kashner, Lucroy. Had some of the other big hitters in Chris Owings, a very underowned shortstop commodity. Denard Span, also underowned with 38 fantasy points. Very well done, my friend. And tell me who else we had in the top five. All of them won money, so you're clear here.
Yeah, just to make sure on that, we had Rad Thad, Victory Cruz, T-News, and Ice Splash Rolls.
I see what Victory Cruz did there. Victory Cruz.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might be a little bit late to that one, but I'm guessing he had that screen name a couple years ago when they were actually winning games.
I've actually never heard of that before.
Yeah, I think it might be new. Maybe it's him.
Okay. Let's see. Going over to the $3.30 Wiz walk-off, great tournament to put multiple lineups into. First place was Richie C. with 284, of course, having Clayton Kershaw, and took Skip Schumacher, Billy Hamilton, who continues to be on fire. Matt Kemp had a nice night. Paired it up with the Felix Hernandez-Clayton Kershaw combo, and that was all he needed. Let me know who else we had rounding out the big money there.
Once again, Rad Thad. We had Wild Wild West, Death Skulls, and Gary I won.
All right. Well, there you have it. Congratulations to all of our big winners there. They did an absolutely excellent job. And we've actually got another big winner here right now. All right, joining us now, I have a very special guest, somebody I've known for a little while now, playing Daily Fantasy. He's actually a friend of mine on Facebook. I'm very happy to have Murphy Wolford. He goes by C. Wolford on draft day with us here right now. How's it going, brother?
Not too bad.
Cool. So a couple of nights ago, you actually took down the $15 knuckleball. When I saw your name there, I got excited on the podcast. I was just super stoked for you. Knew I wanted to have you on the podcast here to talk a little bit about your victory and just some of the strategy that you employ as well. But first of all, I think America needs to get to know you. So tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into not just fantasy sports, but daily fantasy as well.
Well, I've been playing fantasy sports for close to 8 years now, just with a group of buddies. And I fell into the daily fantasy by accident, because I actually had an accident riding with a guy at work, and he rolled his truck by hitting black ice and broke my leg in five spots. And I figured, well, I got to do something for 5 months in the wintertime, and just went to Google and typed in fantasy sports, and a whole bunch of them popped up. And the first one I clicked on was draft day, and went over to Draft Street. And the very first time I played, I won 300 right off the bat, and I really enjoyed being able to pick different players each day and reading up on the research of them and seeing what else is out there.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. It's almost like it was destiny that you found out about draft day. I think some might say that it was almost there for you in your time of need, not to get too poetic about it.
Yeah, it just kind of happened. And ever since then, I've really enjoyed it. And like, you know, when you were doing your show on Roto Grinders with Dean, every single day after work, I'd be like, oh, I got to watch the show. I got to watch it. And just getting the advice. And sometimes I agreed and sometimes I didn't agree. And so a lot of times I felt if you go with your gut feeling, that's a good strategy too.
No, that's a great strategy. And actually, that's a really interesting point that you brought up, because gut feeling, I think a lot of times, is a combination of many factors, a lot of which, you know, not to get too psychological or anything, but tap into our subconscious almost. There's so much information in daily fantasy sports, so much information in sports in general, that it'd be impossible to consciously recall everything you read and everything you see. I think a lot of times those gut calls, you're right on the money. That's kind of your brain saying, hey, dummy, I know something that you don't know. That's why you have a strong feeling about this player.
Well, right. I mean, we don't use all the percentage of our brain, they say. And I mean, just for example, tonight I was building a lineup, and I kept seeing Skip Schumacher, and I kept thinking to myself, man, he's so cheap, but that batting average is just crap. I could take him. And yep, and I look at the score tonight, and he's got like 3 RBIs. I'm like, seriously? I knew I should have taken him.
Well, from now on, I'm just going to go ahead and make sure I message you then before I do my lineups and see if there's anybody you have a feeling about, because I did not draft Skip Schumacher, and I will definitely be paying the price.
I didn't even know that he was going to be batting so high at the top of the order, and then last night I built my lineup within 20 minutes, so I didn't have a whole heck of a time to do research, and I just seen that the Brewers are going to be playing the Diamondbacks, and I thought, oh, well, that's Arizona, and they should be able to hit the ball well, and Jonathan Lucroy, he's just a beast all around, batting, you know, well over 340, and he's always high up on the doubles, and he's going to have a decent game, and so he was one of my top players that I picked.
Yeah, what was interesting about your lineup when you took down the knuckleball was, obviously, it was devastating news. It was almost like, I'm not going to say family member, but almost like a pet had died when I found out Wade Miley was not going to be starting anymore. Because, you know, my lineup was completely built around the idea of getting 4 Brewers right-handed bats in there against Wade Miley. But I love that you had the stones to stay with it, to keep Lucroy in there, and that ultimately turned out to be the real winner for you, because he was only 8% drafted, sort of overpriced against a right-hand pitcher, but, you know, it was still a great matchup, and he still has a ton of power there.
Yeah, it was kind of the same thing with Mike Trout I was looking at, and I think it was, I'm not sure if I'm right, but I thought it was only 3% had taken him, and I couldn't believe that. I was like,
yeah,
you know, he's one of the best hitters in baseball all around, and he's so dangerous, and he can get you so many points. I was just really surprised, and only 3% took him. I couldn't believe it.
Well, you did a very nice job here. You took down a nifty little $500 for your troubles. Before we let you go, what was your very first winning experience you had playing Daily Fantasy Sports? Everybody has one, sort of that aha moment when you know, okay, this is going to be my new thing. It's this easy to make money. I have to stick with it.
Oh, might need your guys' help on this one. There's the big one that they do on draft day. It's for football, it's a $2,000 payout. If you guys got an idea which one I'm talking about.
Yeah, and this is terrible. I should know it off the top of my head.
The Benjamin or whatever.
Yeah, the Benjamin.
It's called.
There we go. That's the $1 yep. entry fee. Yes.
Yep, that's the one I did last year. I think it was around September, and I didn't even realize how well I was doing. I just turned on the computer and I started looking, and I was like, holy crap, are you serious? As long as Victor Cruz doesn't score a touchdown, I'm going to cash out big. And yeah, he didn't do anything that night, and that's why I said, this is it. I'm doing this.
And we know with the way Eli Manning played last year, there was no way Victor Cruz was getting that touchdown, so you probably didn't have to sweat too much.
No, I'm already looking forward to this year in football, and being from Wisconsin, so obviously a big Packer fan, and hoping to expect big things from Aaron Rodgers as long as he can stay healthy.
Well, then I got to give you one last question before we go. Eddie Lacy, is he going to repeat as strong this year as he did before, or is there going to be an increased emphasis on the passing game? Which one do you think is going to happen?
Well, that's a tough one. You never know with Mike McCarthy, but I think that he's going to continue to impress people, and for how far he actually somewhat fell in the draft and his injury concerns. I think he proved that last year playing through that ankle injury, and you know it's kind of like we have a new Amon Green, which wasn't the greatest, but he's pretty much the best running back the Packers had.
No, he got the job done, and that could also be said for myself on this podcast. Not the greatest, definitely not the first choice, but fortunately I'm good enough to get the job done. So on that note, Murphy, thank you so much for joining us here today, and best of luck. Hopefully we can have you on here again in the future as a big winner.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I really enjoyed chatting with you guys, and hope to talk to you soon.
Take care.
Thanks.
Sweet. Good to talk with Murphy there. very happy for him. Somebody that I know is one of the common guys. Love to see somebody like that take down some big money, and meant every word when I told him that I hoped we would get to hear him on this podcast again soon with him taking down another tournament. Now it's time, boys and girls, for your favorite part of the podcast each day, the Daily Fantasy Baseball Strategy. Time to get into some of the action for tonight. Abbreviated slate for the evening games because we've got a four-game slate in the afternoon, the early afternoon. Then we've got a seven-game slate in the evening. It's a travel day, as they like to call it, in Major League Baseball on Thursday. So we're going to go ahead and hit up all these games. And some of our plays are actually going to come from the early games because if you want to play early only, we want to give you some plays for those as well. Looking at the weather, we've got Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, 65 to 30% chance of rain throughout. The 65 to 30 is descending to notate the fact that it will start off with a higher percentage chance, then slowly wane off. I would definitely keep your eyes on this one because the weather across the Mideast is looking pretty dangerous today. Like, it could be volatile and change on a moment's notice. I would be careful slotting players into your roster. And just like last night, don't get Justined and have people out of your lineups and end up not doing as well as you could.
Yeah, because you're not going to find a pitcher tonight with 97 points to make up the difference. So
I
yeah,
do not think so. All right, Atlanta at Washington, 50 to 40% chance of rain. This one is unfortunate, especially considering one of the pitchers that actually it's one of the pitchers you wanted to talk about. You stole him. I was going to talk about him, but you had already messaged me and said he was one of your 2 cents players for today. So I decided to concede and let you have him, and I went back to the well to grab somebody else.
Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully that game actually goes down.
I'm benevolent that way. Philadelphia at St. Louis, 30% chance of rain. This is the one I'm least concerned about, of course. And then Chicago White Sox at Minnesota Twins, 70% chance of rain throughout. So, I mean, this one is looking like if you're gonna take one game to just kind of build your preliminary rosters without, I would just plan on not having anybody from the Chicago-Minnesota game. It does not look like it's going to be worth it, in all honesty. I would be very surprised if this one got in. So, you know, do with that what you will. Take a risk if you want in a tournament, but definitely build your cash game lineups with the assumption that this one is not going to get played. Looking at the Vegas lines for today, a couple of things that stuck out to me. Milwaukee at Arizona with an 8.5 to 9 run total. Vegas keeps waffling back and forth depending on which way the money's going, but looks like this one could be a decent spot to get some value plays in just due to the high run production total. Atlanta at Washington, Jordan Zimmerman, of course, a minus 145 favorite in a 7.5 over-under. Fairly standard for a game featuring a really solid pitcher. Philadelphia at St. Louis, Shelby Miller is a minus 190 favorite. I'm always hesitant to take Shelby Miller. He just hasn't quite been as good as I think a lot of people wanted him to be so far in his career. Doesn't mean he can't get there. Still a young guy. But a minus 190 favorite, that's basically Vegas saying those 10 points you get for the win here at draft day, all but guaranteed, as far as, you know, what you can sort of build your lineups around. So he's not a bad pitcher to target this afternoon. 8-run total in that one. Kansas City at Detroit. Anibal Sanchez, a minus 149 favorite in an 8-run over-under. Houston at Tampa Bay. Chris Archer, pitcher that came into this season with a lot of promise, a lot of potential. Hasn't quite lived up to it yet, but he's a minus 152 favorite today in a 7.5-run over-under game. The Houston lineup, of course, drastically worse against righties than they are lefties. And I could easily see Archer being sort of an under-the-radar value pick today. We really like to pick on Houston with our pitchers early in the season. Their offense went through a brief spike where that kind of, became in vogue to take Houston hitters quite often. And they're kind of back to that point now where they're one of those offenses that just aren't doing so great. So I think that a lot of value could be found potentially in Archer for your tournaments. Not a cash game pitcher that I'm huge on, though. Boston. No. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Well, I appreciate that. That doesn't always happen. So, Boston at Oakland. Scott Kazmir, this one is the one that surprised me the most. Minus 160 favorite in a 7.5-run over-under game. Jake Peavy on the other side. Of course, you know, we have to figure Peavy is going to get blown up by the Oakland Athletics. He's just not been pitching very well. But I would think that some of these right-handed Boston bets would definitely get to Kazmir. As people have been eloquently pointing out on Twitter, it is no longer 2008. So we can stop thinking of the Boston Red Sox as a good offense. But you know what? If I was a betting man, which technically I guess I am, I'm a skill wagerer, though. I'm not a betting man. And it's important to make that distinction in case anybody from Congress or whatnot is listening. I would place my fake Monopoly money on this game going over because I do think Boston, with a couple of their bats, are going to get to Kazmir, even though he has been great against righties this year as far as left-handed pitchers are concerned. Moving over to Five Guys, which of course come to you via Josh Shepherdson's Picks to Click article. If you're not checking out this each and every day, you're a fool. Plain and simple. The guy writes up a comprehensive report with top plays at every position. You can head to fantasysportslive.com, and I generally have that puppy up right around 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So by the time you're likely done listening to this podcast, you will be able to read that article. First player that he talks about today is John Jaso after his pitchers, and that's somebody that I was extremely intrigued by. Jaso, not really known as a prolific catching option, kind of a guy that you just, you know, look for in the right matchup, and he kind of slots in there. But if you take a look at the numbers a little deeper, among catchers with over 900 plate appearances since the start of the 2011 season, Jaso ranks third in weighted runs created behind a couple of dudes that don't even catch anymore. They're just so valuable that they put them in the infield. Joe Mauer and Mike Napoli. Does that surprise you?
That really surprises me. I knew he was a good hitter against righties, but I mean, I didn't think that it was to that extent. So yeah, that's really surprising me. I had no idea.
Yeah, since 2011 versus right-handed pitching, 935 plate appearances, hitting .276, .376, .440 with 133 weighted runs created. So at 7,350, Jaso could certainly anchor your lineups tonight, especially when you consider Jake Peavy has been getting rocked this year. The 193 left-handed batters he's faced have posted a .347 wOBA against him. And his pitches, every single one of them, according to Brooks Baseball, a great site that measures pitching statistics and pitching peripherals, basically they're all down in velocity and they're all down in effectiveness. So Peavy, somebody you definitely want to pick on tonight. Now, you took away my top pitching option. I was going to go with Jordan Zimmermann myself, but I'm going to save the analysis for you so you can talk about him, let you have your thunder. And I'm going to move over to Zach Wheeler instead. 11,800. He's extremely volatile. He's burned us the last couple of starts after he basically was magnificent there for a couple of starts, posting 26, 49, and 37 draft day points in back-to-back-to-back starts. Then he gave up 4 earned runs in 2 straight starts, only totaling 8.2 innings total in those 2 combined, posting 8 fantasy points and 6 fantasy points. Josh actually believes he is going to be back on top tonight, though. He cracks the top 20 in qualified pitchers in Major League Baseball in strikeout rate, and he keeps the ball on the ground at the 9th highest rate in the league with a 55.1% ground ball rate. Now, his 23.5% strikeout rate matches up extremely well with the Miami Marlins and their 23.9% strikeout rate versus right-handed pitching. And they have a 99 weighted runs created, which means they're only 1 run created below league average. That's a statistic we like to use here at Fantasy Sports Live to measure total offense for players and teams, 100 being league average. But Giancarlo Stanton looks like he is not going to be playing after exiting last night's game with a wrist injury. So that lineup becomes severely watered down when they don't have their hulking behemoth of a cleanup hitter there anchoring the lineup. I think those weighted runs created will be a little skewed if he's not in the lineup. So I think Wheeler has an excellent chance tonight to do some damage.
Yeah, Wheeler's a guy that, like you said, if Stanton is out, then he's definitely a guy that I'll be targeting. But from my perspective, if Stanton is playing, I'm not going to be playing Wheeler because I see him as pretty much just an upside strikeout guy. And obviously Miami, not a great offense, but they've been prone to blowing up a couple times at home. So I'm a little leery taking less than lead options against them in Miami. But yeah, I mean, you saw that entry yesterday with Stan. It didn't look very good. I know I wouldn't be playing the next day. So I can't imagine that he'll be in that lineup tonight.
Did you just compare yourself to Giancarlo Stanton?
Not intentionally. Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, good. I just wanted to hear you own it. Like, I'm never going to knock somebody for going, you know, above their level and playing up, so to speak. I'm always down with that. Bold proclamations, you know, kind of playing up, comparing yourself to, heck, I'm all for that. I like it.
I need to work on my opposite field power, but aside from that, we're pretty much the same guy.
That home run was just stupid.
It was ridiculous. Like I said, I've never seen a home run like that.
He tapped the ball.
Yeah, and no part of me, I don't know anyone else watching, no part of me thought that even had a chance. I thought it was going to one hop and hit the wall at best.
Yeah, I thought he was going to get, you know, a standard double, hitting it opposite field into the corner. That's, You know, stand up double opposite field into the corner, and he was surprised. You know, he wasn't home run trotting.
Yeah. There wasn't even anybody in that stadium that was really excited right then. It just seemed like everybody got silent because they weren't sure what happened, almost like the ball just disappeared. So strange.
All right, this next player in my five guys is someone that I love to target. Do you see what I did there?
Well played.
Juan Francisco, Toronto Blue Jays, $7,650. His walk rate is way up this season, right around 9%, which is huge considering his career rate is much lower than that. Means he's striking out less as well, and it's great that he gets to face David Phelps, because David Phelps doesn't strike out too many people. And in 141 plate appearances this year, Juan Francisco with 161 weighted runs created, the Blue Jays are playing him correctly, really only exposing him to right-handed pitchers. And you got to figure, Yankee Stadium, that short porch out in left field, he's going to knock one of these out eventually when he gets to face a right-handed pitcher. At that price tag, with that power upside and the fact that he is drawing walks much higher than he had previously, you know, there's a better chance of him getting 5 points for the walk as opposed to -1 points for the out. So I'm going to be targeting Juan Francisco tonight.
Yeah, especially with the versatility, first or third base. I mean, he's a steal at that price, especially with some weather concerns and short slate. You can't do much better than that.
Next player is Xander Bogaerts. Now, Bogaerts, this is more of a price play than actually loving the player. We love Xander Bogaerts, don't get me wrong, against left-handed pitching. He's got 145 weighted runs created. It's only 89 plate appearances this year, but his minor league numbers kind of support the fact that he is a above-average hitter against left-handed pitching. Like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, though, Scott Kazmir has actually been very good against right-handed hitters, and that line, -160 for him in a 7.5 run over-under game, scares me a little bit. Makes me think that the Red Sox might only put up a run or two today. But if they do put up a run or two or three, I'm going to guess that Bogaerts has to, you know, something, a hand in at least one of them. And at $7,300, this is a player that was up around $10,000 a couple weeks ago because he was on fire. I think at this price tag against a left-handed pitcher, you could certainly do worse at the shortstop position, especially because shortstop is just a position that usually has a dearth of options. We're generally scrambling to find somebody that we can slot in there. And I think today you look at Xander Bogaerts and he could definitely be your guy.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that a lot of people are still overreacting to the whole Scott Kazmir thing, and he has been pitching really well. But like you said earlier, he's not the pitcher that he once was, and no part of me anticipates that he's going to maintain his 2 ERA and sub 1 whip. I don't think that that's sustainable at all.
No, it's definitely not, and especially not against right-handed batters. Those numbers against righties are going to even out before the end of the year. He may be better than he'd been in the last couple of seasons, but they're not going to be as good as he was now. Somebody that I think is going to be much better, Brandon Moss. Happy Brandon Moss Day, actually. I forgot to tell you that. It's always a good day when I wake up and see a right-handed pitcher that's not like one of the two or three elite guys in the league is facing Brandon Moss, because I pretty much just slot him in. And I love the fact that this guy is $9,850. Below $10,000? That is a steal. Another guy like Juan Francisco, you can slide in either in the outfield or at first base. He has multiple position eligibility. And the numbers are just stupid. Since 2012 versus right-handed pitching, 2012, of course, when he broke into the league, he's got 875 plate appearances, 271, 355, 575 with 156 weighted runs created. But you look at his right-handed weighted runs created, and he ranks 8th. In the league overall since he came in. And this is a guy who's, you know, widely been considered up until, you know, the kind of second half of this season so far as pretty much just a platoon guy. I think people are finally starting to realize that he hits right-handed pitching so elite that you have to basically consider him a star.
Yeah, he's absolutely there. And, you know, for somebody who is a streaky hitter at times, he's still up top 10 home runs, RBIs. He's got stupid amount of power, plus now an awesome nickname, so you really can't go wrong. With
yeah, and by the way, I trademarked that, and I'm really hoping that the patent office doesn't revoke that from me.
Oh, I'm not going to get into patents and revoking things right now.
You've been extremely vocal on Twitter about this entire ordeal, and without making a discussion out of it, I will say that I agree with your premise, just to get, because people like to cherry-pick parts of arguments and say, I agree with your premise, which is, it's a basically, if I hear what you're saying right, is it's private enterprise and this is capitalism. If you don't like it, just don't spend your money on it. But let's stop involving everybody and acting like it's the biggest issue in the world.
Agreed. They've been around for 82 years. 80 years later, people are pissed off. Give me a break.
Stupid. Yeah, look, capitalism, if you don't like it, don't spend your money on it.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple. Yeah, it's very simple in my opinion. You know, that's the way it works. It doesn't work by, you know, the patent office taking it away. Again, we won't get into that discussion and everything. Feel free to start that discussion with us on Twitter. We'd love to have that, conversation with you guys. But I just saw an opportunity for the Brandon Moss trademark joke, and I had to take it.
You had to.
I did. All right, moving over to your 2 cents for the night, the 2 players you feel very strongly about. And like I said, you stole them from me today, so of course I agree with you on both of these guys. Got some stats to back you up as well. We'll throw out David Wright at a sub-$9,000 price tag. Is this just silly, or is it just me?
Well, David Wright, as I'm looking at his numbers, it looks like he's having a down season, but if you look at his numbers against lefties compared to what he's doing against righties, the numbers are stupid. He's batting .403 against lefties. He's got 169 weighted runs created versus only 74 against righties. He's got a .413 wOBA against lefties as opposed to .276 against righties. So if you look at his overall numbers, you may think he's having a down season. However, if you look at what he's doing against lefties, there's really no one in the league that's maybe some that are the same, but no one's hitting lefties better than him this year. And he gets a rookie in his first start who's never pitched in the major leagues before. So I think his chance of having himself a nice big night at only 8,500 tonight are just enormous.
Yeah, against left-handed pitching this season, he has 173 weighted runs created. That's phenomenal. And he has 162 weighted runs created since 2011 versus left-handed pitching. So it's not like that number is too far outside of what we can expect from him. He's ninth actually among qualified batters in weighted runs created against southpaws since 2011. So I think that price tag is absolutely a steal. He'll be on every single one of my lineups across the board tonight because it just doesn't get much better than that. That means that Juan Francisco, as I mentioned earlier, first base eligibility, he's probably going to be my first baseman on most of my lineups as well. So that's how I'll be attacking that. Now, unfortunately, it looks like this game could get rained out or delayed, and it's always tough taking pitchers in games that look risky, but we do have to talk about Jordan Zimmermann a little bit here, at least, in case this one does get in. Tell me what you like about him.
Well, first of all, his price tag. At the way he's been pitching at an elite level over his past 3 starts, especially.
Yeah, 8 innings or more. Crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. And over his last 25 innings pitch, he's given up 1 earned run, 10 hits, 2 walks, and 21 strikeouts. And granted, 2 of those were against bad offensive teams, but I could care less about that because Atlanta is one of the worst teams in the league against right-handers.
Yeah.
They strike out the 5th most against righties. They're 25th in extra base hits against righties. So those 2 factors, even just the matchup, as well as he's been pitching and as bad as Atlanta is against righties, regardless of the fact that his salary is barely $15,000, which is ridiculous for the way he's been pitching, I don't see any possible way, if the game doesn't get rained out, that Zimmermann is not in every single lineup, and he should be in everyone's lineups.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers in swinging strikes and strikeouts are up this year. He's been better in real life than he was last season. And the Braves actually are 27th in weighted runs created versus right-handed pitchers, 17 runs below league average. They strike out 22.5% of the time, as you alluded to. So I think there's certainly tremendous upside in Jordan Zimmermann today. I'm really hoping that the forecast clears up in this one.
Yeah, me too, because that would be a big disappointment for me to not be able to play him tonight in that matchup.
It would also introduce a lot of volatility, because I'm looking at tonight's slate, and there's not a whole lot of pitchers that I'm feeling too confident in. I don't know about you.
No, there's not. Honestly, there's not a single other pitcher that I love.
That you feel like is a lock, yeah.
Yeah. There's some guys I would settle for and hope that they have big games, but in all reality, I think he's the only safe option with also good upside.
Yeah. Chris Archer and Shelby Miller, 2 of those players that I would be looking at if Zimmermann couldn't go to pair up with someone like a Zach Wheeler. Those guys could also be paired up with Zimmermann. But if you have to audible, I like both of those players as kind of guys to look at. But again, let's just cross our fingers and let's will it into existence. He's going to play.
Yes, I believe it.
I believe as well. I also believe if you're listening right now and you're not playing in the Fantasy Sports Live League, you're making a tremendous mistake. I've got an exclusive free roll every Saturday that I want you to be a part of. And there's only one way to get in it. You head over to FantasySportsLive.com, you click on today's podcast article, scroll down to the bottom, and there will be an invitation for you to join the Fantasy Sports Live League. You click on it, you hop in today's five guys game, and if you finish in the top 50%, you're actually going to double your money because it's a double up. But if you finish in the top five, you're going to get an invitation to my free roll on Saturday where the top five players get played. Imagine that. The five guys theme runs deep. I definitely want to see you there. I claim my spot each week. Justin normally claims his. We'll be very disappointed if you're not playing as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's a fun tournament with, you know, it's with the unique option of extra money at the end of the week. So all you have to do is beat half the people and then make money and then later make more money. It's pretty simple.
Make money, later make more money. This sounds like directions I could get behind. Last night, of course, we had five players qualifying for the free roll. Shout-outs to Ned Jays, iSplash Rolls, BCell25, Cincy Gross, and our very own Josh Shepherdson 50 with a nice, healthy, robust 222 fantasy points. Well done, everyone. That'll bring it to a close for us here today in the Fantasy Sports Live podcast. Want to thank you very much for sharing a portion of your day with us. We'll be back tomorrow with our Friday edition, of course, last one of the week. We'll make sure it's a blowout extravaganza. Just kidding. It's probably going to be like the other podcast, but you should listen anyways. Justin, anything you want to say to these people before we let them go?
Free pizza today. The second no-hitter of the year. 3 o'clock. MLB.com.
What?
Free pizza. You haven't heard about this?
No.
There are Domino's, each of the first two no-hitters of the year, giving away 20,000 free pizzas. First time, it was crazy traffic. I couldn't even get through, but 3 o'clock today, go on there, get free pizza.
How did you not mention this at the beginning of the podcast?
I was saving it for the end. That was the last of my my 2 cents.
That's like 3 cents.
I shouldn't have told anyone, actually, because I couldn't even get through last time to get my free pizza. So let me get in first, then about 3:05, everybody else get in.
All right. Sound strategy. We'll talk to you all tomorrow. Peace out.